Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Soccer Matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We give away the result, we give away the game twice, because after be 2-0 up at the halftime, coming to the second half, in the way we did it, it's really bad. Is really bad because we can concede goals every game. We are conceding goals a lot of times, and at home we concede too many goals and too many bad results at home, and this can be possible.
By the way, to tag on to that from Bruno Fernandes of Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the Manchester United manager, said, quote, "We should not be considered contenders." How about that? How do you feel about that, Manchester United fan? 713-780-3776. So I want reaction to the Tab Ramos interview. I want reaction from Tigres fans getting to the FIFA Club World Cup. I would love to get some reaction to the free fall that Liverpool is in right now from all the great Liverpool fans in Houston. So phone lines are open. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. And this is all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to them. Also, he is and they are our presenting sponsors here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. So if you get in any trouble, you need a personal injury attorney, it's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're bilingual at 713-322-HURT. You could drive an 18-wheeler. You might work in a refinery. You might have got hurt on the job in construction. You call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm is going to bring you a personalized approach and work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. All right, how we doing, Aaron? Do we have some phone calls? All right, let's start it off with Ben. Ben, what do you have?
Hey, Glenn, I'd like to talk a little bit about Liverpool. I think a lot of their issues is they're putting players to play the wrong positions. Moving everybody to a back line from midfield, and they're asking players to do something that they're not necessarily used to, even their wing back. The guys actually having to play defense when they're used to bombing up the field. And I think that's really just torn Liverpool up and got them completely off of their game plan and their approach to the game in general. They're putting players in positions that they're not really tuned for, even at this incredibly high level.
I would agree with that, robbing Peter to pay Paul. Jordan Henderson's been playing as a center back, no question about it, and then that has a direct line back to the loss of Virgil van Dijk, who's so fundamental in everything they do, including in their attack. I mean, look, this is why this guy was voted the player of the year in the world. You have an additional confidence going forward when he's playing the center back position. He can cover laterally right and left, outside backs, getting forward that we've seen with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. So that's in their minds getting forward. And I think you're right. That has to be a big part of it. You heard the Roy Keane soundbite where he kind of criticized Liverpool for not being good champions here in their defense of their title. What did you think about that?
I did hear that. And that's kind of got me interested. I'm surprised by Klopp himself. I really expected him to kind of weather this a lot better than he has. Maybe get the players. I think it's the players' mindset that isn't quite right, and I'm surprised with his great ability to kind of talk people up and get them prepared. I'm surprised that they haven't kind of stepped up to the table, even though they are in the top 10. We expect more from a team like Liverpool.
Well, now for Liverpool, it's about being in the top four and getting a Champions League place again. Ben, thank you so much for the phone call there and the good comments. Let's go to Colin. He wants to talk Houston Dynamo. Colin.
Hey, Glenn, how are you tonight?
I'm excellent. How can I not be good when I'm doing the soccer talk radio? It's one of the greatest things. I absolutely love and am passionate about this, especially when I get callers like yourself. So fire away.
I want to talk about the two new attacking options that we got this offseason in Fafa Fico and Maxi Arruzzi. I feel like I'm so excited about these signings because they offer a lot that we just didn't have on the team last year. We struggled to score goals. We struggled with pace on the wing. And I think we have two guys that could realistically slot in the starting options for us and help create a lot of chances and a lot of goals. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a stockpile of guys that can play wide now, to your point. So you got Fafa Pico, and then I'll go back to Arruzzi in a second. So let's talk about the wide game. And obviously, Todd Ramos wants guys that can penetrate, get behind defenses, provide something vertically. Look, you always want something vertical, and you want to be able to create width, whether it's with your outside backs or your wide men in midfield or up front, right, in a three. So Bahamic, Pico, Lassiter, Tyler Pascher, Nico Hansen, there's a stockpile of guys there. You might even throw Nico Lemoine in there as well. Does this mean somebody might get traded here if there is interest for the right guy? I don't think it's going to be Pico. I don't think it's going to be Bahamic coming from the second division in Argentina from Instituto. So these are your penetrators. Tyler Pascher to me has got some similarities to Johnny Russell. This is a big moment for him at 25, coming from Indy 11 to try and make it in MLS, and Ari Lassiter is going to get pushed. Maxi Arruzzi, Christian Ramirez, are your two number nines. Arruzzi is a mobile 50-plus goal scorer in Major League Soccer, and I'm almost thinking here, look, if it's like, and this is just an example, it doesn't mean it's going to be this. If it's Arruzzi, Bahamic, and Pico, this is a very mobile, defense-stretching group that has capability vertically, but also for Tab Ramos, if you listened in the interview, also has the capability when the ball's lost to right away in the snap of a mind, not 4, 5, 6 seconds, but 1 or 2 seconds, get right into pressing mode. And this is what he's trying to do. He tried to do that last year. He didn't have the players. We knew that. We had to be careful the way we presented it, but he didn't have the players. You're not going to get more real soccer talk about the Houston Dynamo than right here on this show. So that's what I see, and maybe it doesn't have the five-star entertainment value of Albert Elise and Mauro Manotas, but their time had passed. It was time to move on. So I think it's something to be interested in, without a doubt. I think it's exciting, and I think it's all going to play out this year because I think some people that are incumbents who kind of felt they were going to be in the starting lineup all the time, they're going to get pushed. Okay?
I think there's competition everywhere. And
well, it's definitely improved.
Absolutely. And I think what's great about adding all the wing depth that we've been talking about, we're allowed to have Quintero in the middle of the field at the center attack and midfielder position. And that's got me so excited.
Well, thank you very much for the phone call. I do appreciate it. Thank you, Colin. I want to keep a dynamo here right now. We're going to get to Martin in a minute with Bayern Munich, but I want to go right now to Romero. He wants to talk Tab Ramos.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I wanted to ask, there's a lot of speculation with the dynamo linked to Carlos Alcedo, and, you know, with Tigres being in the Club World Cup final, is that someone that the dynamo have been looking for a while? I know we've signed Tim Parker, we drafted pretty well, but you know what? How real are those? You know that talk between the Dynamo and Carlos Alcedo? Is it just kind of pure speculation, or you know what can fans make of that?
Well, I can tell you that the sources I have, they have reached out to his agent. So the Dynamo have reached out to his agent. Now, I think we have to look at the spending history of the Houston Dynamo. Carlos Alcedo. And if we're going to look at this logically and you know, in a way that you realize that, you know, to buy this player right now, as well as he's playing, it's, you know, you're talking, I'm thinking $8 to $10 million. Okay, so you have to factor that in. Could the Dynamo surprise us? Sure, they could surprise us. But I think every single player on Tigres right now that's playing well at the FIFA Club World Cup were not only good players before it, but now their stock and their profile is going up like maybe the New York Stock Exchange right now because of the success. Salcedo and Parker would be an incredible, I mean, you talk about some blood and guts, tough defenders, tacklers, hitters, good passers of the ball. It would be remarkable. I'm not holding my breath on it because of just the history of sales. And that's not to say the Dynamo haven't spent some money in certain areas. They certainly have. But, yeah, we'll see. Time will tell. But, again, you have to look at their past spending habits and factor that in. If not, we could get shocked in a major way.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay with that? All right, I appreciate that. All right, so we're going to keep this going here. 713-780-3776. Martin wants to talk Bayern Munich. Hi, Martin.
Hey, well, I wanted to talk about, you know, Tigres and Bayern Munich. I'm not a Tigres fan. I'm actually a Chivas fan, and you know how that team is doing. But you know, I stay in the east side of Houston, and it's crazy the amount of Monterrey people, you know, that live on that side of the city, you know, the amount of Tigres and Rayados, and it's crazy, and, you know, and it's kind of contagious, you know, how well supported, you know, how they support their team, it's amazing. But, you know, I may sound crazy saying this, but I give a legitimate, you know, I do believe Tigres has the ability to beat Bayern Munich. You know, I know that may sound crazy that the European champions, but you know, it's amazing what they've done. I think they have really represented CONCACAF really well. You know, I think everybody should be happy for those guys. Everybody in Mexico should be happy for those guys. You know, and it's crazy, you know, that, you know, we talk about Gignac, you know, how great of a player he is, but, you know, also Salcedo, you know, and it's crazy how, you know, we're talking about him, you know, Dynamo reaching out for him, you know, that sounds really good. You know, I've always believed that one of the biggest things that the MLS teams are missing is that killer instinct, you know, because we saw it, you know, in the final versus Phoenix and the AFC versus Toronto. You know, those two teams that could have easily beaten, well, not easily, but that could have beaten Chivas and Tigres, you know, but they're missing that killer instinct. And to be able to bring a player like Carlos Acevedo, I mean, it could really help them out. And it's amazing how Carlos Acevedo has, I remember a couple of finals ago, he was almost choking on a final in the Liga MX. And but the way that he bounced back has been incredible. Not a lot of players can do that. But you know, I love the show, Glenn, and you know, I'm happy to talk to you,
Martin. Thank you very much for calling the show. I think you bring up some tremendous points. You know, the thing about the East Side and the amount of Monterrey fans. I mean, we know every weekend when they play, there are people driving back across the border to go watch, you know, them and Rayados play. It is a vein that needs to be tapped. It can be tapped by getting a known player from either of those teams. I think we've talked about this for many years on this show. But I also like your comment about killer instinct, because if we do go back to the LAFC game, Martin, they did have a chance to make it 2-0, and I mean a clear chance. And who knows? They may be right now at the FIFA Club World Cup. To your point about Tigres living up to the moment against Bayern Munich, I'm not saying they're going to beat them, but I think they're going to live up to the moment, play well, really show well for CONCACAF. That's a great phone call, Martin. That's a beauty. Thank you so much for calling the show tonight. All right, so that was Martin. That was a great phone call from him. I guess we're going to take a break here, Aaron. Is that what we're doing? Okay, we got about a minute to go. So some great stuff there. Thanks for all the great phone calls, Aaron. You know, I mean, the passionate fans are out there. I love when you call a show because you add so much. I mean, that phone call from Martin added a lot. Ben's phone call added a lot. You know, Colin added a lot talking about the Dynamo and everything going on there with the roster. I will tell you, this roster is going to be more competitive. I mean, just listen to the guys playing up front here. Lassiter, Pascher, Arruti, Ramirez, Bahamich, Pico, Hansen. I don't know if I missed anybody. I guess underneath them it can be either Darwin Quintero or Memo Rodriguez. You got a midfield of Derek Jones, Seren, Vera, Boniek Garcia, Joe Corona, Marcelo Palomino. There's a lot of competition here. Lundqvist and Junkwa, the two left backs. Minor Figueroa, center back. Tim Parker, we know he's going to be a starter. Fuenmayor, Ethan Bartlow, Eric McHugh, not ready for MLS yet. I don't, you know, he's got to have to fight and keep adapting. Zarek Valentin and Bazama. So, you know, the two outside back positions are too deep, maybe a third deep. But competition is there, and that is a beautiful thing. All right, Soccer Matters brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hugh O'Connor's Pub out on I-10 by the Marquee Entertainment Center. My good friend Peter out there. Get out there. It's where the Liverpool supporters group are. They've had good times a lot in recent times. Right now, not as much after the beatdown from Manchester City. But by the way, Pep Guardiola does have that machine humming, and they are the favorites to win the Premier League. All right, when we come back, we're going to shift our focus here to a very vital part of soccer in the United States, and that is the USL Championship. And we will go to San Antonio FC President Tim Holt. We'll take a break. Thank you, and we'll be back in a moment.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm Tyler Adams, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As always, brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Look, if you get in a car accident, a boat, a motorcycle incident, John and his firm will represent you. Like I said, they'll work 24/7, nights and weekends for you. And by the way, I really appreciate the fact that the John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm are supporting your game, my game, the game that we love, the game of soccer. All right. The USL Championship and USL 2 have become very, very important in the United States. Infrastructure, player opportunity, front office opportunity. Well, we had an opportunity to catch up with San Antonio FC President Tim Holt. Tim, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight.
Yeah, good evening, Glenn. Great to be back with you.
Yeah, it's good to catch up with you. I first would really just want to say, how are you doing? How have you done with COVID, you and your family? Let's just start it off with that.
Great. Thanks for asking. Yeah, everybody's remained healthy and safe during this time. So it's definitely been a strange 12 months for us all. And I know we're all looking forward to getting back to a little bit more of a normal, life here over the coming months. But it definitely feels encouraging, like we're making some good progress. And, hopefully 2021 will be a lot better than 2020.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Starting to see the light a little bit, right? Let's talk about San Antonio FC and how difficult it has been to kind of navigate through this time period here. And, I mean, we've seen clubs in the USL, cease operations. This is an incredibly difficult time. It's an emotional time for people. Just tell us how you guys have navigated it through your leadership with San Antonio FC.
Well, like you said earlier, it's been challenging for everyone. There's no blueprint as to how, you operate in these times. I think at the very beginning, especially when it was, all very novel and different for everyone, and we had all of that uncertainty and time away. I think we're all kind of learning from each other as we go here. Certainly been the case throughout sports, been the case in American soccer, and I think we've step by step been able to navigate through it safely. Last season, USL resumed playing games in team's own stadiums, one of the first leagues to do that in the world, albeit mostly behind closed doors in June. And, we were able to get through a season, and it was very different. It's definitely not the same without having fans in your building. They're the ones that we do this for. But I got to give a ton of credit to all the people on the medical side, our athletes, our coaches who remain committed, sort of subjugated anything else that was going on in their life for each other to make sure that they protected one another and The league got through it well. And then, you know, again, it's a little bit of a 2.0 version of that this year. We've all learned a ton. So, you know, the protocols are much more evolved going into this current season. You know, we're all still very much at risk, and we'll need to take, you know, steps to protect each other. But I think we do that knowing a bit more about what we're getting into coming here. We'll begin our preseason in about 2 or 3 weeks and look forward to welcoming the players back in and doing it safely and incrementally getting back to, you know, playing games and hopefully playing games with fans in the stadium.
So where are you guys right now as far as putting a roster together? Take us into how many teams we think will be playing in the USL Championship this year, if we know, and kind of how you're getting things together with Alan Marcina, the head coach.
Yeah, league-wise, you know, alignments locked 31 teams for this upcoming season and a slightly reduced number of games, 32, which is still a healthy schedule that will run from, you know, on or about May 1st through the end of October with a playoff that runs through November. So kind of pushed everything back 6 to 8 weeks in terms of the start time to hopefully get in a better part of the year from a public health standpoint. But, you know, fingers crossed we'll get through a good season and the league continues to get better year in and year out competitively and in terms of, you know, how teams put on games. So that part is good from a team building standpoint. You mentioned Alan Marcina, his second year as our head coach with Nick Evans and a really good staff that have, we're coming off a positive year. We won our group last year and made it to the playoffs. We lost in the first round of the playoffs to a very strong New Mexico team, but it, you know, on total, it was a very good season and a positive step forward. We've been able to retain a number of players that made up the core of that group. And, you know, we've added right now, I think we have 17 professionals under contract and our academy, which is a huge part of the identity of what SAFC is, will augment that with 4 or 5 players that earn the opportunity to be part of preseason and then hopefully, you know, make that first team roster during the season.
Yeah, I'm glad you led me in, Tim. We're talking to Tim Holt, the president of San Antonio FC, doing great things down in the Alamo City. So the SAFC Academy, Harry on Twitter says, where will the Academy teams play in the upcoming year?
So right now, you know, it's been 2020 was eventful in so many different ways. You know, that, as you know, many of your listeners, the Development Academy that U.S. Soccer had run for the better part of a decade, folded operations, you know, and the majority of the top academies and clubs, youth clubs in the country have been competing in MLS Next. We're part of that group that's been competing in that youth league with our academy, which is now in its 6th year. And we have all the way from under 12 through under 17, 100 full-time players that is sort of club supported. So no player, all the players are on scholarship. They're selected. We do our best, although admittedly it's been difficult with COVID because of the necessity of compartmentalization of different groups to mitigate risk of integrating our model. And we've had some early success stories. A player called Jose Gallegos, who was a finalist for USL Young Player of the Year with his second professional season with us going into this season, who's really coming to his own, still a teenager, just out of high school. And another player called Leo Torres, who was literally with us since the first tryout date back in 2016, is now a 17-year-old going into his second professional season. Both are members of U.S. youth national teams at the U-20 and U-17 levels, respectively. And we've got a really encouraging, you know, group of players, all local San Antonio kids. They've never had this sort of defined pathway from the youth level to the pros, you know, where they get that coaching and opportunity and identification early enough that we think we can be effective in helping shape careers. Both kids will have careers that go beyond SAFC and the USL. And so it kind of gives our roster a unique local identity. The last point I'd make about the roster is that we project right now that 40% of our roster will have some type of San Antonio ties. Most of them are either homegrown or local players that grew up here. A couple, you know, played college here, but maybe didn't grow up here. But 40% of our players will have local ties. And for us, that's what it's all about, is just connecting with the community. And it kind of brings everything together. And I know our fans enjoy us having success on the field. They want to see us win, but they love seeing us win with homegrowns.
I watched a lot of your games last year, and I was really, really impressed with Jose Gallegos. And just how impactful he was at such a young age, and a very fun player to watch as well when getting on the ball. Let's keep this rolling here. You know, with Austin FC's, season going to kick off here in 2021 in Major League Soccer, and the proximity geographically of both you and the Austin Bold, is there the possibility, have you discussed with them, or have they come to you to discuss with you the possibility of loaning players? And is that something you're interested in after just what I heard about your academy and how important that is?
Yeah, I think the working relationship right now that we have with Austin FC is good. We have a lot of respect for everything that they've done so far, everything they're doing to prepare for the season. The people that they have involved with the club are excellent people. We're really very San Antonio focused and centric in terms of what we do. You'd never rule anything out. I mean, we've had loan players from Toronto FC and FC Dallas and Minnesota. And certainly, you know, you look at any options that may become available. If they're a good fit for both sides, then you would do them. And Austin FC would be no different for us. But, you know, our focus, again, is competing for USL championships year in and year out, doing it with a roster that really has a homegrown flavor to it, which changes, you know, people's lives and really has our community involved in supporting the team. Great for the fans. It's great for sponsors. And we think that's the model that we'll double down on going forward. But yes, their entry into this region certainly is part of the evolution of soccer here. And Texas soccer right now feels like a real hotbed in terms of the number of professional teams, both in the USL Championship Division and Major League Soccer. And, to say nothing about the number of players that are playing all over the world that have started and been developed here. In Texas, it feels like a real epicenter of what's going on in our sport.
Yeah, couldn't have put it better myself. You said it beautifully there. Look, I understand in the beginning it was about getting into Major League Soccer. You've had to shift the model, as you've said. The thinking maybe a little bit changed things. Can Austin FC be good for you now? I mean, with you, the Bold, all so close together, I would have to think in some cases that all ships would rise with the tide. How do you look at that?
Yeah, I think what you said is correct, that all ships, you know, raise the tide in terms of awareness of our sport and people that haven't been soccer fans becoming familiar with the sport, and, you know, no matter where they live and if they're San Antonio based. So we don't look at it as a negative thing. For us, nothing really has changed in terms of the ambition of wanting to win whatever we're competing in, whether that's the Open Cup, whether it's USL, you know, packing Toyota Field and creating an environment which is one of the better environments in professional soccer in this country, and doing it again with a real emphasis on identifying, developing, and ultimately having, you know, local players become professionals that impact all of these things. That's the model for us, and it's no less ambitious than the model that we had here for day one. Like anything, you know, the path will go in different places, and it's just part of the evolution of a club. So, you know, for us, we're still focused on trying to do everything to the best of our ability, continue to expand the programs and the brand. And the USL Championship is a great platform for us to do that in. It's a much different, bigger, broader platform than it was in 2016 when we entered this league. Hopefully we've had a little bit to do with that, but there's been a lot of other clubs that make you realize that there's no ceiling on what you can do. So, you know, we'll keep grinding here. We feel like we've had a lot of success stories in the first 5 years, and this next 5 years for us becomes another opportunity to perform and kind of build upon what's taken us to this point.
San Antonio FC president Tim Holt, one of the hardest working guys in the sport of soccer in this country. No question, a lot going on. Let's talk a little bit about the USL Championship and the league overall, not just the championship, but the USL period. And how now, sort of the globalization of transfers and selling players now, this has become a big thing for Major League Soccer. It's becoming a big thing for your league as well, for the USL. We see Mark Anthony Kay going from Louisville to LAFC. We see Tyler Pasher now in Houston. Do you expect to see more of those moves from USL teams that that don't have an affiliation with an MLS club, and maybe take us into some of the buying and selling ideas that are going on now?
Yeah, it's a great question. And you know, the short answer is absolutely. We expect not only to see it continue, but continue to flourish. Most of the action's been happening at the Major League Soccer level here. But as USL teams invest in their communities, invest in their academies, develop players and provide them a platform to initially prove themselves, the market is very global. So MLS and its clubs certainly becomes a market potentially for these players, and as does the rest of the world. So we look at a lot of the things that have happened, you know, especially over the last, let's call it 9 months, the Philadelphia Union, FC Dallas kind of leading the way, and European clubs looking at American, young American, you know, prospects or professional players differently, with more credibility, with more value. That's why I think we're particularly excited about, you know, being in year five and being on the verge of some of our own players potentially being in similar situations. But the market's changing in a way that, you know, where the United States or North America probably more correctly is looked at very differently, which is great for clubs that have invested significantly in player development, in their infrastructures and their people. Are well positioned, I think, over the next several years to capitalize upon that.
Well, listen, Tim, as always, a great pleasure to have you on this program. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we look forward to having you on again. And continued success with all the hard work that everyone, including yourself, are doing under your leadership and guidance at San Antonio FC. Thank you very much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Glenn. Thanks for everything you do for the sport.
All right, so that was Tim Holt. That is a very, very interesting interview. They had to change direction because, remember, they are owned by Spurs Entertainment Group. And when Austin FC was awarded a franchise and Columbus was moved to Austin, they really had to switch gears and really kind of call an audible to change maybe the model of what they're doing. But they certainly, after that interview with Tim Holt, you can understand how important player development is for them and winning a USL championship and being San Antonio's team. So we'll see if the Houston Dynamo, we'll see if Austin FC are going to utilize San Antonio FC or the Austin Bold or RGV when it comes to player loans. Quick word here for Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Get over there. They got the great stressless lounges. I have one. They're incredible. Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Jan Christensen on Fondren. All right, we'll take a break. We have more to come.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we wrap it up in big style here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And as always, a big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. Hey, you may be a center forward on a team in Major League Soccer and you may get mowed down by Derek Jones. I don't know. But it is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. So Derek Jones joining us now, one of the new Dynamo signings. Derek, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, very excited to have you on tonight. And you know, when you first heard of the trade in Nashville, what kind of crossed your mind? Because this has been an incredible journey for you to get to this point in your career.
So the first thing I thought about was like, oh man, I get to work with the Tab again. You know, obviously he was my coach back in the youth national team, and it's kind of like a reunion.
Yeah, now talk a little bit about his importance in your career at that stage. He helped you kind of fast forward, I think, paperwork and everything so that you could represent the U.S. national team at the under 20 level.
Yeah, he helped me so much. He's like a father figure in my life. You know, he guides me in so many ways, you know, on and off the field. He helped me actually, you know, with my paperwork to get my passport, you know, so I can represent them in the World Cup. So he's been very good to me, and he's played a very important role in my life.
2017 FIFA World Cup under 20 in South Korea. What a remarkable moment for you. Did you have to almost pinch yourself when you were there before this thing started?
Trust me, I never knew I would have went there. You know, like, he had so much faith in me, and I was like, oh man, this it was different. You know, it was very different. I get to go to South Korea. First, I didn't have my passport. I got my passport. I traveled to South Korea, and then I played. It was very different.
Must have been really emotionally kind of up and down when you were trying to get all the things in order so that you could play in this tournament. I mean, I could only imagine, you know, the thoughts going through your mind. My gosh, I don't want to miss this.
Yeah, I know. It's like everyday thing. Every day, like me and him back and forth every day, you need this paperwork, and then I need to get it done. So it's like just moving up and down every day, you know, trying to get it done so I can represent them.
Talking a new Dynamo signing, Derek Jones, midfielder acquired from Nashville for $250,000 in GAM. The Houston Dynamo get a bright young talent. I take you back to that 1-0 win against Senegal, you being born in Ghana, and that 1-0 win. What were the feelings after that game? Because that was a very, very important group match for you
guys. Yeah, I think that was my best game for the U20s. That's what I think, because it was very important game and we needed to win that game. So, you know, and the team played really good. You know, obviously we had a good coach that guided us, but that was one of the important wins we had during that World Cup.
Tell me a little bit about why that was your best game, personally, from what you did in that game.
Well, personally, it was the second game. That was my first game starting. So I was like, no, I'm in this game now. We have to win just because I'm starting. You know, I wasn't trying to lose. That was the mentality that I took to the game. And obviously, you know, I was focused and I was concentrated. So I think I played a good game and I helped the team get a win.
Big win over Senegal. That was the 2017 FIFA World Cup under Tab Ramos. When you see some of your teammates from that team, you played next to Tyler Adams, Eric Williamson, Josh Sargent. You see the success that these guys are having. I mean, it must open a world of possibility in your mind.
Yeah. Because I play with most of the guys, and I'm very happy for them, you know, where they are at right now. And I feel like I can get there too, you know, if I just put in the work and just keep going.
Talking to Derek Jones, born in Ghana. You come over to the United States, you come to the Philadelphia area, and you join the Junior Lone Star Football Club, which is a lot of people from your country. When people come to the U.S., a lot of times they congregate with people in their culture. This is what happened to you. Tell me about that team and what it was like when you first got here.
So when I first got here, it's like back home, you know, when you want to make friends in the street, you have to play football, soccer. So when I got here, all the people that I know, mostly Africans, they all played for Junior Lone Star. So for me to make friends, I had to go play with them. And it's like a bunch of, you know, Africans from different places, you know, Liberia, Ghana, Nigeria. And it's a very good feeling because you get to have a moment with people from different countries, you know? So it was very good for me that I started there.
Then you get discovered by the Philadelphia Union Academy, and all of a sudden you're playing with their under-16s. Was it tough to leave that group of guys go to the Union Academy? Did they give you a hard time, or did they say, hey, we wish you the best of luck, Derek?
Well, it was a hard time for me leaving. Obviously, you know, you never want to leave your people, but, you know, in order to move on in life, sometimes you have to do, you know, you have to go through a hard part, but they were happy for me. You know, everybody on the team were happy for me that I get to play for the Union. Because back here, if anybody plays for the Union, that's like a big thing, the academy, you know? So they were all happy for me.
Well, you were the first homegrown signing to go from the academy and become a starter for the Philadelphia Union. That's something nobody can ever take away from you. So you were really setting the bar for a number of other young players that have since followed you, including Brendan Aaronson. I want you to go into the Union Academy director, Tommy Wilson, because he's the guy that identified you. And it was interesting. In some of my research I was doing before this interview, he said he was a big Manchester City fan and a big fan of Yaya Toure. And he looked at you and he kind of made a little bit of a connection between Toure and yourself.
Yeah, he helped me so much, man. I went to the academy. You know, I used to live like an hour away from where the academy is. He provided me shelter, you know. And he, for Tommy too, he was like a father figure in my life, you know. Like, he, anything that I needed from him, he did it for me, you know. And on the soccer side, he always used to be like, oh, you can be like Yaya Toure, you know, the way you play and stuff, you know. So he made me like Yaya Toure ball too, because I used to watch him play and stuff.
So you became a big Yaya Toure fan after he made that comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad guy to be compared to, I'll tell you that. What an unbelievable player. So some of those same qualities, Tab Ramos has talked to me about you. You're big, tall, you're physical, but you got very soft feet. You're good on the ball. Tell me about that position that you like to play, and would you call it a defensive midfielder type role? And is that what you know, we see in your future here in Houston? Because we did see you with Nashville playing a little higher up the field in an attacking role.
Yeah, so in the attacking role, that was actually my first time playing there with Nashville. So usually I'm more like a defensive guy, like a 6 or 8, you know. That's what I've been playing all my life. So I think for me, yeah, my best positions is like the 6 or the 8, you know, because I want to defend and win balls, and I want to get more touches, and I want to play.
So I want to take you back to the Union Academy director at the time, Tommy Wilson, because in some of the research I was doing, you know, he would drive you to the train station. You guys spent a lot of time together talking about the game and maybe just talking about life.
Yeah, we did. We did. He, you know, and every time I call him, hey, Tommy, I need a ride, he come pick me up, he drop me off. You know, we have different conversations, you know, and not all about soccer, sometimes about life, what's going on and stuff. Like, he helped me so much, and I really do appreciate him for that.
Do you stay in touch with Tommy Wilson?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while, but once in a while I just text him and, you know, try to check up on him.
And your journey is amazing because you get into the Union Academy, then you go to their USL affiliate, which is called Bethlehem Steel, which I'm very, very familiar with, the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania area.
Yeah.
And that becomes pivotal in your growth and development as well. Tell us a little bit about that and also, you know, your coach there and then how you endeared yourself to that fan base, because, you know, you became very connected to a lot of people during this part of your development and this part of your career.
Yeah. Well, my transition to Bethlehem was for me, it was very good for me because it helped me get on the first team, and playing the USL is just, I wouldn't compare it to the MLS, but like, it helped me, you know, it helped me get into the team. Like, okay, when I get there, I can do this since I'm doing it here. I remember my first game in the USL, I was so nervous, like I barely even touched the ball, you know, and I was thinking to myself, like, how am I going to get on the first team if I can't even do this? But I had coaches around me that helped me get through it. I had Brandon. He helped me so much during my time with the Steel, you know, and that's what has gotten me so far.
Yeah, it is remarkable. Then you get traded ultimately, you know, after playing for the Union, you go to Nashville. Now, this is kind of your first time out of the Philadelphia area, right,
yeah,
going with Nashville? Is that fair to say? So is that different, and was that a good experience being in Nashville?
Yeah, so when I went to Nashville, it was tough for me because my second game I got injured and I was like out for 4 months. So it was like a new city, you know, I don't really know anybody and I'm injured, I'm all by myself, so it was very tough for me. But last season, you know, I get to play, I get to connect with the team more. You know, so it was very good for me, and I like Nashville so much.
So you've had highs and lows in your career. Let's face it, everybody does.
I mean,
when we see Lewandowski scoring goals, we probably don't know that he's had a lot of maybe some valleys in his career. How important have the valleys been, the moments of disappointment where, you know, I listened to you in this interview and you're I can almost hear you challenging yourself, like your first time you played with Bethlehem Steel or the first time with the under-20s. I can hear you talking to yourself. Take me into that and how important it is to be resilient and fight through those times where it's a little dark and you're trying to go forward.
Well, you know, like, I have so many people around me that whenever I'm down, they try to, you know, keep me up. And where I'm from is, you know, once you go up and you go back down, you can't stay there. You know, I can't do that. You know, I always need to lift myself up. I've been through a lot, you know, a lot of ups and downs. Sometimes it's like very tough for me, but then I get up again and I keep pushing because in my head I know, okay, if my mate did it, I can do the same thing too. You know, so that's what helps me get back on my feet and go more and just do more. Because I know one day it will all come to life for me.
So here you are in Houston now, Derek Jones. You're reunited with your under 20 U.S. national team coach, Tab Ramos. What is it about Tab Ramos that you like as a coach? What are the qualities that you like about him?
Well, one thing I like about him is he really trusts me. And for a player to have a coach that have a trust in you is very good. It gives you more confidence when you go on the field to play. And I like Tab so much because he helped me. He helped me develop my game a lot. You know, he helped me develop my game a lot by defense and with the ball and everything. So I was absolutely happy with the trade. You know, I was very happy because I get to work with him again, and I know he's going to push me to get higher.
So your immediate mission is to help the Dynamo get into the playoffs, get yourself established here in Houston. You're going to have to fight for a starting role in this team. What's the long-term ambition for you?
Well, for me, right now, I'm more focused on the Houston. I'm more focused on, you know, trying to get the team in the playoffs and hopefully lifting the MLS Cup. And then we'll see what's up from there.
It's a brave, nice world to be in, Derek Jones, playing soccer in Major League Soccer. All right, let's have a little fun. What's some of your favorite hobbies? What do you do to take a break from the game? A much needed break sometimes.
Well, for me, like every time people see me playing video games, they're like, "Oh, you play video games so much," blah blah blah. But then I always tell them like, it refreshes my mind, you know, like I need to get out the game a little bit, you know, and not every day soccer. So I like playing video games. Sometimes I was reading this book, but I'm done reading it. I need to get another one. And I just had a kid, so usually I'm with the kid too to get my mind off soccer a little bit.
So you got a lot going on. What was the book you were reading?
It was something about it was something about investing.
Ah, okay. An investment. Very good. Very good. So you're looking to the future. I like that. Mm-hmm. Don't take any stock tips from me, by the way, because I'm not very good. Just wanted to let you know that. How about music? Any good music that you like? Who's your music?
So I listen to more like back home music. It's called Afrobeat. Yeah. So I listen to it a lot, you know, and I love music. I love dancing. So, you know, our kind of music, you can use it to dance a lot. So I listen to back home music a lot.
Yeah. Hey, excellent. Derek, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We welcome you to Houston. Appreciate you coming on the show and being so insightful. A very, very interesting interview from you. Thank you very much, and we wish you the best of luck here in Houston.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
All right. Next time we have you on, by the way, we'll get some of that home flavor music to bring you in to the show.
Sure.
Okay?
For sure. Thank you.
We'll make it fun. Thanks, Derek. All right, that does it for tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. That's the shameless promotion. But as always, a big thank you to our sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. For producer Aaron Raybould and all of you listening in tonight, don't forget the podcast can be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Podcast Arena. On behalf of the firm, until next Tuesday night, Thursday night, we'll be back on the air this week. We'll see you Thursday, 7 Central.
ESPN 97.5.